From the studios of Tucson Business Radio X, recorded in the Stewart Title corporate offices on Broadway, you are now listening to The Mark Bishop Show. And now here's your host, Mark Bishop.
Well, it's been an exciting day, I tell you. The rooms are full of people looking in at movies, listening to the industry speakers who are giving them advice on how to sell their movie, how to make the movie, things that you do. I mean, you know, that's what a film festival is about. And indie films, well, Independent Film Festival here. My guest now is the president, in fact, of the Independent Film Festival of Arizona, of the Independent Film of Arizona. Her name is Jeannie Joseph. Yes. She's a PhD. And she's president. Hi, welcome, Jeannie.
Oh, thank you. It's so good to be here.
This is exciting today, isn't it?
It is.
The inaugural, huh?
Yeah.
You're very diverse. You know, you've been an actress, you've won awards, you've been a director, you teach in Tucson, you teach actors. What haven't you done? Tell me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's, you know, life is so exciting. There's so much more I want to do. We were just talking about some very fun projects that we might be doing in the next year. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I am president of Independent Film Arizona, and we are an organization that helps emerging and local filmmakers get their start, or if they've already started, how to perfect their craft and how to really evolve and be realistic about the market. Because this is one of the challenges. Sometimes filmmakers, they fall in love with their idea, and we want them to be passionate.
Sure.
But we also want them to have a sense of the reality of the marketplace. So that doesn't mean that they're going to whitewash their vision or anything like that. But we want people to be realistic about who is my target audience? Who would really watch this?
Yeah. It's awfully well, you know, hey, I want to make a movie on this because it really excites me. And I can see my friends in this or myself in this. Hang on a minute. Who's going to pay to watch it?
There you go.
All right? That's basically
exactly
what you're saying. So
exactly
now, do you advise on this? Do they come to you?
Yeah. Well, I do. I'm a script consultant. I'm a judge for one of the top screenwriting competitions. So I read over 100 full-length feature film scripts in a judging season. So that's quite a bit of material that I'm reading. And what I've been able to do is see really what it is that's what are the weaknesses structurally in terms of a story or in terms of character, in terms of plot, and so on. So I help writers, aspiring writers, take their ideas and really polish them.
I was going to say, so you really go into it with them then.
Oh, I do.
You could save literally thousands of dollars.
Oh, billions of dollars.
Billions. You know, over the years, you must have seen, has anybody gone on to be anything we should know about? You know, like a Spielberg or somebody? You know?
Well, I have launched some people. You know, one of these things people don't always like to say, the little projects they started with, but I have seen people that I've worked with go all the way to the top in Hollywood, and that's always fun and exciting to be a part of launching people's careers.
So. Yeah, I guess it would be because, well, I guess they're like your babies to a degree, aren't they? You know, they started with you, learned, and then you watch them go on. Do they ever come back, you know?
Well, you know, one girl I started, she was a what's called a PA. That's the lowest realm on the film production shoot, production assistant. And I just said to her, why don't you do the slate today? You know, that's the clapboard, right? And she just had a certain magic. And when we were watching dailies, the whole room, you know, all the big shots in the room, and we saw this girl come up, and all she did was do the slate, and you could tell she was going to be a star. And from that moment on, she changed her career. She went to Hollywood, became an actress, and the rest is history. So, you know, it's really fun to kind of see. I think I have an eye for talent. So I've cast over probably 1,000 people in features, in commercials, in short films, and so on. So I think I do have a good eye for talent, and it's always fun to take someone who doesn't see themselves maybe as the way you see them and show them a bigger and better vision of themselves.
I can remember when I was a kid with the school plays and everything else, I really wanted to be an actor more than anything in the world.
Yeah.
I wanted to go to Hollywood and get on that silver screen no matter what. But I knew I was no Rock Hudson, and I certainly wasn't going to be his height. And although I'm not that small, but the reality is, you know, I never saw myself as a romantic leading man. But you know what? There's tons of other roles, isn't there? There's what they call character actors and all sorts of people,
no matter what. All those leading men, they want to play character actors. You know, they want to
play real? Do they really?
Yeah, because they get tired of being typecast as Mr. Perfect.
Right? Okay.
So they want to be the bad guy, or they want to be the psycho, or they want to be the bag lady, or whatever it is.
Well, I used to, when I was working in the media in Australia for many, many years, we covered lots of movies being made. And I'd be on the set often. And I tell you what, when you see how hard these actors work, and in all conditions, all weathers, one tends to think, you know, I may have gone down the right path after all.
That's right. 3 hours in makeup, getting up at 3 a.m.
Oh, well, how do they get on today, Jeannie, making up these horror movies and God knows what the makeup must take. Hours to do.
It does, yes.
You've got to be so patient sitting in that chair.
Can you imagine every day sitting in that chair 3-4 hours for those?
Unbelievable. And then you've got to work in it.
Yep. Yeah, and you got to be charming and remember your lines.
You have a personal life as well. I know you're very busy with this life, but you love, you got a little doggy I noticed before.
Yeah,
beautiful.
She's right here sleeping in her bed right
next
to me.
Yeah, God, love it. What's her name?
Sophia.
Sophia, you love animals?
I do love animals.
So much so that I think you're starting up something rather exciting called Animal Consciousness Institute.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes,
exactly. Can you share a little about that?
Oh, I'd love to. So basically what we're interested in doing is helping people see animals in a new way. First of all, starting with the premise that we're all animals, okay? I'm an animal, you're an animal, and they're animals. And what that does, that's a state of mind. Instead of thinking that humans are some superior species, we are a species just like they're a species, and maybe they have a kind of intelligence that we haven't even begun to consider.
Right.
Like if a dog were to look at our... If a dog were to look at our noses, a dog would conclude that we were morons because we can't smell anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very important that we understand that animals have a kind of intelligence that we've maybe underestimated and that we've used the wrong approaches in trying to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, we look at also, do animals have thoughts? Do they have feelings? Do they have emotions?
I often wonder whether my dog understands me truly.
That's right.
You know, he welcomes me when I come home and he barks and everything. And I think he's trying to say something. I say to him, did you have a nice day? What did you do today?
That's
you know,
right.
Woof, 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 back again.
Yeah.
And I'm really wondering if he's really talking to me.
He is? He is absolutely talking to you.
His name
is
Dixon. The
question is, can you understand?
No, I can't, and it frustrates the hell out of me.
Exactly.
So for animal lovers out there, so what are you going to be covering? You're going to be doing a show, I believe, on animal consciousness through the Institute. You're going to have all sorts of guests. Give us an idea and a bit of a rundown who you're likely to have.
Well, we'd like to have some of the experts. It's a beautiful scientific revolution that's going on right now in the field of animal cognition, in animal intelligence, and exploring the inner lives of animals. So there's lots of science out there that supports what you and I know intuitively, which is that animals have emotions, they have thoughts, they have feelings, they have fears, they have desires, they have intentions. Do you know what I mean? And so now the science is catching up to what those of us who've been owning pets have known all along,
right,
which is they have a heart, they have a soul, they have a mind, and they have desires that they'd like to communicate.
Well, you know, I was speaking to a lady once I interviewed with a vet that actually did unique work on animals. And she said to me, not only do they have a soul, but they're there for you when you pass over.
Yes.
Isn't that lovely
to
think that your little doggy, you know, or your little pussy cat, whatever, the ones you love, just like your children, are going to be there for you.
Yes.
That's absolutely amazing. Yes. You, if one was to ask you, your animal consciousness business that you're going to be doing as a not-for-profit and all the wonderful information and storage you're going to be giving people, how is that going to rate with all this lovely film work that you do and have done? And,
well, we're hoping someday that this will be a TV program so that people will get the message, because I think it's so important. Animals have a way of opening the heart in a way that nothing else does. You might say that love of animals reaches across the aisle in terms of politics. You know what I mean? That someone that you maybe wouldn't agree with on their position on this, that, or the other.
But right.
We can agree that they love their dog, I love my dog.
Right.
And that can bring us together in a way that nothing else can.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at a point in this country where we need that. We need to be able to find what unifies us rather than what divides us.
Oh, totally. Totally. Well, that sounds absolutely fantastic. And hopefully down the track, you'll when you get closer to launching, the Animal Consciousness Institute, you'll come back and talk to us a lot more in depth about it, and it'll be great. That's absolutely fabulous. Jeannie Joseph is the president of the Independent Film Arizona. And you heard before, right behind us here, that we're shooting something on the set, standby and all that jazz. So we're really in the middle of it all in the atmosphere. Anything coming up, before you go, Jeannie, anything coming up that's being made in Tucson or nearby as an independent film soon?
Yes, well, we've got several projects in production, and we want to just tell people they can get involved. They can come to our free educational meetings, which happen once a month. And that if you'd like to know more about that, you can go to Independent Film Arizona Forum on Facebook, and that's where we announce where we have upcoming projects, people looking for actors, people looking for crew, as well as our monthly educational meetings, which are free.
Fabulous. All right. I might even volunteer, for crew, taking the coffees out or something, because it's fun being on a film set.
It sure is.
It really is, and I'd like to do that again, so that could be good. All righty. Well, listen, thank you for your time. We know you're
very busy.
My guest on the Mark Bishop Show here on Tucson Business Radio X was Jeannie Joseph, who is the president right here in Tucson of the Independent Film Arizona. Thank you, Jeannie.
Thank you, Mark.